Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
For the best Ravens coverage.
What time is
it? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Woman Crush Wednesday, Super Bowl 59. Coming up here on Sunday night kickoff, 6:30. You can hear the game on this here radio station. Ravens season is over, has been for a couple of weeks. Off-season news been percolating. Unfortunate news with Justin Tucker. All of that yet to be resolved. As we just talked about, heading into the top of the hour, possible awards going to Lamar and maybe others, and maybe some gold jackets being handed out on top of it. But Ravens GM Eric DaCosta was on the Todd McShay podcast talking about various things relating to his team. And Todd asked Eric about moving on from the loss and now getting ready for 2025.
When the season ends, when our season ends, I think people would expect me to be like miserable. It's one of the happiest days of the year for me because I know now I can be a part of the solution, right? When you're in the season, if you're a GM in the season, you're like a hostage to the carnage that's going to take place out there. And I despise that.
Never heard that.
What are the small little margins we can play in to get better as a football team? And, you know, we always try to be innovative. We'll look at the roster. We'll look at how do we save money. Who should we sign?
Yeah, you know, I remember when we would lose. I mean, first thing, I mean, you're like in a tank. And then you see all the players leaving the next day. And then it's like, okay, then what do we got? Then you normally you're headed to the Senior Bowl. If you're not going to the Super Bowl, you're going to the Senior Bowl. And at that time, Bob, like when I was there, Senior Bowl was a big – everybody was there. Now, coach, a lot of people don't go, but it was an event. So it was kind of cool to be there. And then it's on. Then it's like – kind of what Eric just said. Then it's his time of the year. Now it's his time to shine because there's roster building, there's who we cutting, draft, free agency, all those things. This is his time of the year now.
And he also, talk about finding the glass half full. I mean, your season just ended disappointing fashion with some controversy on top of it. And you're like, well, this sucks. I'm sure it stings more than he'll ever leave the public to believe, but you know, task at hand. Sports 12 months, 365 now. No time to sleep and feel sorry for yourself.
I guess it's like what Harbs tells the player, you know, 24-hour rule. 24 hours after a win or lose, you move on to the next. And, you know, that's the thing. But, I mean, when the way the Ravens, just because, Bob, what would be hard about, because expectations are so high. I mean, you're expecting to go to Super Bowl if you were the Ravens this year. You know, and then you go up to Buffalo and you lose a tough one, okay. You players played hard and everything, you know. And are you satisfied? I mean, do you feel like is there a pit in your stomach? Like when I was in San Fran, we lost NFC Championship game. You have a pit in your stomach because you felt like you didn't reach what your potential was. When I was in Washington, you know, if we won a playoff game and then lost the next one, Hey, we had a hell of a year. So, kind of different. And, like, for the Ravens this year, you kind of have a pit. And, all right, you know, that pit's got to go away because now we got to improve upon, you know, what we just – how do we get better?
Now, Eric DaCosta also talked about tough decisions that have to be made in the offseason, identifying your salary cap, what free agents can go, which ones have to stay. I mean, there's a lot of things. Feelings are going to get hurt. And Todd McShay asked Eric about learning to make these tough decisions from Ozzie Newsome, who dealt with it as a player and as an executive.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot, but I would say you have to sometimes do what's right for the organization, even though you know it's the wrong thing to do. And what I mean by that is, like, we had a player that historically was just one of the great Ravens of all time, Anquan Boldin. We traded for Anquan. He was a total stud. Epitomized what it meant to be a Raven, like a guy that when you went into Pittsburgh, you wanted Anquan. The reality of it is we were in a bad cap situation and we had to trade him and we didn't get much for him. And it was a horrible football decision, but we had to do it and it was hard. And I think sometimes you have to just accept that you have to make the hard decision. We might have made it work. We could have probably finagled some contracts, done some cap deals. We probably would have put ourselves in a worse position in future years had we done that. Ozzie just has this way of when the time comes and we got to do it.
Yeah, that is a tough decision because, like with Boldin, he was still playing well for you.
He just helped you win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, damn. You know, like the owners I worked for at that time, Bob, Eddie D and Dan Snyder, I don't think either one would have done that. I think they'd have kept the player. Both would have probably kept the player. I mean, that's their mentality. You know, like Eddie. Eddie was like, win, win, win. You know, whatever it is. And Dan was, we'll find a way to make it work. But, you know, I give Eric and Ozzie, and, you know, that was Ozzie's decision at the time. But, like he said, wasn't the smartest football decision, but it's what was going to be good for the long haul.
Yeah, and that team in 13 bottomed out. Because Ed Reed was gone as a free agent. Ray Lewis retired. Matt Burke retired. I mean, they lost a lot of guys off of that team. Bernard Pollard had moved on as a free agent. And that was the infamous, he lost all of his, Harbaugh lost all of his dogs. Then he went back at 14, then missed the playoffs for three straight seasons. Where it got to the point where, so you talk about a smart football decision, in retrospect, they missed the playoffs for the next 5 years. The smart business decision was trading up and getting Lamar Jackson.
Well, it would have been even a smarter one if you'd have taken him at 27 instead of Hurst.
Hey, but it all
but
worked
they still
out
got
great.
Him, yeah.
It all worked out great. Vinny at 81057 The Fan, news from the Nest. Eric DaCosta was on the Todd McShay podcast. Hey, Ravens offense is awesome. And they added some pieces, and here they are talking about adding more speed to an already explosive group.
And we've tried to add, we always try to add speed to the field. You know, we feel like Lamar being the type of player he is, he presents so many challenges for linebackers in the front, you know, getting guys outside. So we drafted Hollywood, we drafted Zay, you know, we drafted Bate. We've allocated a lot of resources. We don't have that. The one piece we probably have missed on is that big X presence. We've never really had that. We've tried to find that guy. That guy doesn't grow on trees, right?
Yeah. They're
hard to find
those
kind of guys, right? That's probably the one thing.
Big X receiver was what he was saying there. The big, you know, the guy who's 6'2", 6'3".
The A.J. Brown guy.
Yeah, Lee Evans, that type of guy. And like I said, they don't grow on trees. I mean, Bob, the Chargers, that's what they were looking for when they took Johnston.
Quentin Johnston.
Yeah, ahead of Zay Flowers. You know, they wanted that big receiver.
Oh, by the way, not to split hairs, Eric took Hollywood Brown over A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, that's a good point, Bob.
DK Mac. Well, speed. Brought some speed.
Yep. They definitely brought down the field speed, and Bateman was a fast guy, big play guy. Now, Bob, Bill Walsh's, you know, you talk about what do coaches look for in San Fran with the West Coast offense type, which has changed a little bit now. It was always about big receivers, you know, because Niners with Bill Walsh, they always had bigger guys, and our scouts, and it made it easy on the scouts, any receiver under 6 foot tall, you didn't have to look at. If you go into a school, any receiver under 6 foot tall, you didn't have to bother with them because they didn't fit what he wanted.
And finally here, news from the Nest. We'll hear more from Eric later in the show, get to NFL lunch and all of that fun stuff. Deontay Johnson, remember that guy? Oh, what's some drama? What's some drama that he bring to the equation? Well, technically he's back. And he might turn into something that's not Deontay Johnson making the Pro Bowl. So Eric DaCosta explains to Todd McShay exactly what in the hell's going on with this whole thing.
How many comp picks do we have? How can we get more comp picks? You know, we at the end of the season, we claimed Deontay Johnson after we cut him. And people are like, what the hell are the Ravens doing? They cut the guy.
Correct.
He goes to Houston and gets cut.
Yeah.
And the Ravens claim him. He can't play for anybody now. Well, we did that because there's a small chance that he signs a contract for more than $2.5 million. And if he does that, he qualifies for a comp pick. So those are the things that really motivate me. How do we gain a small advantage? Mm-hmm. How do we gain a big advantage? Right? You can go get Derrick Henry. You get a huge advantage.
Right.
Yeah. $2.5 million for a guy that was cut three times in 1 year. The odds on that.
He said small chance.
Yeah, small chance. I mean, that's kind of Eric's philosophy and stuff. I mean, I got no problem. Would I have probably done it? No, just public perception wasn't a good look. And if Eric gets a pick out of it, hey, he's a genius. But I'm guessing, Bob, he's going to play for the vet minimum for him to get a chance on a one-year deal. He's got to go earn some credibility in an organization because, Bob, he got thrown out of Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Houston.
Yeah, Houston and Baltimore, two playoff teams.
Yeah.
By the way, it's Vinny at Haney 105.7 The Fan.
Three. Pittsburgh was
too. Well, he was in Carolina.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
It's Vinny at Haney 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, it's got a little dough. Screw that $2.5 million. Where's my money? It's a little buy or sell. Then we'll talk some Orioles. Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun. Ramon Laureano, come on down. Where's he fit into the equation? They got a lot of outfielders. Does somebody get sacrificed to bring in yet another? Maybe top of the rotation arm. And then Ryan Wilson, he's going to join us for NFL lunch from CBSSports.com later in the 1 o'clock hour. Vinny broke down Philly's offense on film. Now we look at that defense. What about you, Vic?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fangio.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney. 1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. Got a lot going on in sports as we've addressed through the first 2 hours plus of this program. But we could all use an extra dough. Hey, if you're throwing a Super Bowl party, that I almost cussed. That's not cheap. Where's the extra cash? By yourself.
Well, the Dow is up 126. There we go. The Dow's up 126. The S&P's up 8. NASDAQ is up 5. DraftKings up 26 cents. Under Armour's down 7 cents to 731.
All right, as far as our sports topics today, let's start with Maryland basketball. It took a little bit longer than we might have hoped, but the Terps are finally back in the AP Top 25 this week after rattling off 4 straight wins. Actually got a huge boost from the voters, going from outside the rankings all the way up to 18, but will now have to defend that when they travel to take on Ohio State tomorrow night. 3 years into the Willard era, they have never been a preseason-ranked team, and they've never finished a regular season in the Top 25 either. Their peak was 13 early on in that 2022 season. Buy or sell, Bob, Maryland will climb higher than 13 at some point this year.
I'll buy it because they're playing like one of the best teams in the conference. Now, you can't get all trap gamed up in Ohio State because they shoot threes. They have 2 great players, as we talked about with Kevin Willard a couple of hours ago. And I'm sure they'd like a little redemption for getting blown out of the Xfinity Center 2 months back. But yes, I'm buying that. This looks like they don't turn the ball over. They shoot a hell of a lot better than they did last year. They have 2-3 studly kind. They have a great point guard. They have perimeter firepower. Yeah, I can see it happening. Don't forget they did make the tournament in Willard's first year, where Turge took him like 4 years to get into the big dance.
Slow build.
Yes,
slow build.
Exactly.
Remember Shaq Clear and all those?
The Charles Mitchells and the good stuff there. Seth Allen.
Good times. All right, over in the NFL, the Bengals. They have a lot of notable free agents this offseason, so they're going to have to be pretty selective with who they pay. But probably their most pressing contract to deal with actually isn't a free agent. It's Ja'Marr Chase. He's still under contract for another year. But this time last year, when they were trying to get something long-term done, really didn't go that smooth. At the time, everyone was waiting to see who would move first between him and Justin Jefferson. As we know, Jefferson went on to reset the market since he didn't want to match that quite yet. But now that Chase has put together a monster season, triple crown at that, his case for the most money at his position, it's really not up for debate. With that in mind, Vinny, buy or sell, negotiations with Ja'Marr Chase should actually be pretty easy for Cincinnati this time around.
I would buy that, but the Bengals are cheap. So that's the biggest issue. But you got to, I mean, they didn't pay him last year because he probably wanted Justin Jefferson money. And what did he do? He went out and proved that he deserved Justin Jefferson. It's kind of like when Bisciotti told Joe Flacco, go win a Super Bowl and I'll pay you the highest paid. And I think Chase deserves to be the highest paid.
Over to the NBA, a lot of players trying to leverage their way out of town. That's really nothing new in today's NBA, but what Jimmy Butler's done this year, I mean, somehow managed to take it to a different level, at least as I see it. He's been at odds with Miami for months at this point, been suspended multiple times, and they've been trying to find a trade partner. It seemed like they were close with Memphis and Golden State, but then Jimmy Butler comes out of nowhere, says, well, I've got no intentions of signing long-term with either of those teams, so both teams lose interest, and that's it. And now he's back to square one again, but here's what I don't get. I mean, he's essentially a rental either way. Buy or sell, Bob, a fringe contender should still take the risk of trading for Butler, even though he is essentially a rental.
He plays for a fringe contender in the East in Miami. They were just in, the finals 2 years ago? He's on a fringe contender, so I'm selling that. He wants to go to Phoenix. And they might be getting rid of KD, sending him to Golden State. To me, Jimmy Butler's leverage is donut right now. Right. And, you know, Ian, he's, 36 years old? It's not like he's in the prime of his career, lighting up the world. I mean, he's not even the best player on his own team. It's Adebayo and Tyler Hero. So, come on, Jimmy.
Yeah.
What are you doing over here, man?
I mean, it's not like they were trying to trade him to the Wizards. I could understand saying, sure. Hey, don't.
That's Chris Middleton.
Don't send me there.
Chris Middleton. What was that? You're going to the Wizards for Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma probably going to walk to Milwaukee. Yeah. So happy.
But being in Golden State or Memphis, I mean, even if you don't want to be there beyond this year, it's a couple months. And then you hit free agency. And you're good.
I don't know, man. Yeah,
it makes no sense. The Super Bowl here, the Chiefs. Well, they took a one-year chance on Marquise Brown prior to this season, really an attempt to rebuild Mahomes' wide receiver core. Unfortunately for them, Marquise missed a majority of the season, but has been active for the playoffs. Barring a monster performance this Sunday, it's not much production here recently for them to go off of when he becomes a free agent yet again this spring. Even still, Vinny, buy or sell, Kansas City will still prioritize bringing him back for 25.
I'm going to sell that. I just don't think he's a great route runner, and he doesn't really give him much yak, and Worthy's really kind of stepped it up. Worthy, I think they thought he was going to be Worthy is probably what, when they went and got him, they wanted to add speed, and now they've got it with Worthy, you know, who in the playoffs, I mean, Hollywood hadn't done much in the playoffs. Whereas, like, Worthy has 11 catches in the playoffs.
Only thing going for him is he would be cheap. You know, you're really not going to have to argue over money. But
and there's a lot of receivers in the draft, like there is every year.
And if he chose to get in radio, he's got some pipes on him. Oh, Hollywood, a big, deep voice. It's Hollywood Brown.
I don't remember that. But
I don't remember that unless I was thinking of someone else, out of Metallica, perhaps.
We can
at the Super Bowl.
We can revisit some Marquise press conferences if we want. But anyway, I teased it a little bit earlier.
I don't get the ball thrown to me enough.
We'll get to it right now. Another ticket giveaway. This time, Nine Inch Nails. They're going to be here in Baltimore, CFG Bank Arena, later this year, August 26th. Tickets on sale courtesy of Live Nation. But I want to get you a pair right now. I'm looking for caller number 4. At 410-583-1057. Again, a pair of tickets to see Nine Inch Nails.
Trent Reznor and the boys coming to town. Get caller number 4 at here, 410-583-1057. We'll come back, talk Orioles. Matt Wyrick from the Baltimore Sun. Ramon Laureano added to the nest. Where does he fit in? I guess based on the reported contract, he'll fit in somewhere. What's Elias have up his sleeve as we head to Sarasota next week? Ryan Wilson, our buddy from CBSSports.com. He's going to have some NFL lunch with us at 1 o'clock. And losing their ace on top of it in free agency. But Mike Elias is a sharp tool, and he's putting together something of quality, at least we think, and here to talk about that and more. He is on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the program from the Baltimore Sun, Matt Wyrick. Matt, good afternoon. How you feeling today?
Not too bad. Spring training right around the corner. Can't wait to get down there.
Well, it's Blondie, one way or another, looks like Mike Elias wants 72 outfielders to compete for spots as Ramon Laureano joins the equation. And as Nolan just said during his update, he was terrible with Cleveland. and then was kind of a godsend to that injury-depleted outfield in Atlanta. And we've seen him make some sterling plays. He's got a little pop, got a cannon arm, as everyone knows. Got $4 million with an option for 26. So Mike Elias' perfect world scenario is anticipating what from Ramon Laureano, who splits versus left-handed pitchers also manage, you know, a lot better than against righties.
Yeah, you know, I think a perfect outcome here is probably Laureano as a fourth, fifth outfielder. I don't think they'd hope that he'd be an everyday player, but somebody who can kind of help balance out what started as a very lefty-heavy outfield mix for the Orioles, but has become a bit righty-heavy now with all of the moves they've made this offseason. All four of the outfielders they've acquired this offseason have been able to hit from the right side, or in the case of Dylan Carlson, is a switch hitter with better splits against lefties. So that's clearly was a need for this front office coming into the offseason, was to try to find some righty bats, especially with Santander leaving via free agency. I think they've done that. So, you know, obviously I don't think that they're going to be able to carry seven outfielders as they have on their 40 man right now heading into the season. Not all of these guys have options. But barring a surprise demotion for Heston Kerstad or trade, it looks like that there's going to be some kind of competition here for maybe that last spot heading into the spring.
Now, you mentioned trade, and I'm trying to read between lines. Keep in mind, I've had multiple eye surgeries in the last 2 years, Matt Wyrick, and, you know, they don't have a quote-unquote number one starter, as we're all very much well aware of. Apparently, the Mariners have pulled Luis Castillo off the market. I guess if you want to make a move on King or a Cease out in San Diego, the Padres would be willing to listen. So what are the tea leaves saying to you? Is Elias satisfied with the rotation he's got now? Because certainly a lot of bodies, but no Burns-level performer at the top of it.
No, certainly missing that ace punch that they've had in years past with Burns last year and Kyle Bradish the year before. And, you know, I think every Orioles fan is dreading the eventual comments of, you know, we're going to get a big trade acquisition at the deadline and Kyle Bradish coming back from Tommy John. I'm sure those comments are coming at some point. But, you know, I don't know. Like, Heston Kerstad has obviously been the name that's been most frequently mentioned, at least among fans, as far as a trade ship. And I'm just not sure that it makes a whole lot of sense to trade him from a roster construction standpoint. They acquire all of these right-handed bats for the outfield, but Kerstad is still kind of the foil to Tyler O'Neill in right field, whether it's a platoon situation, whether it's trying to get O'Neill days off. Being that left-handed complement to him is a spot where you don't really have anybody else to kind of fill that role unless, you know, we start to see Cedric Mullins maybe work his way in a platoon situation. So I don't know that it doesn't look like it's in the plans for Kerstad to be traded. Certainly, you know, with the no number one, they're going to need guys like Grayson Rodriguez and Zach Eflin to step up. Potentially it's something they address at the deadline instead. But, you know, Mike Elias did say last week that, you know, he's not ruling out any last minute moves here in the offseason. So the clock is still running. We will see.
Now, Matt, last year, the Orioles first half of the season offensively, now they were arguably the best offense in baseball, home runs, OPS, run production, you name it. They were near the top of it. Then injuries took their toll, bottomed out in the second half where they were one of the worst offenses in the majors. Saying they stay healthy, and it's always a big if for everyone, what is the ceiling for them offensively here in 2025?
I mean, even despite the second half slide, they still finished top five in pretty much every offensive category you can look at: home runs, runs scored, RBIs, things like that, OPS. I mean, this was such a potent group to start the season that they were able to kind of prop up some of those numbers, which is pretty crazy to say. And it's also, you know, not within, you know, a realm of consideration here that they continue to improve. I mean, we saw with Jordan Westbury out of the lineup for several months. We didn't get to see a Jackson Holliday at full strength. Adley Rutschman obviously faded in the second half. So if some of those guys put together, you know, improvement seasons, I think we could continue to see this lineup get even better. So, you know, while they don't have a number one starter per se in the rotation, they might be able to make up for that in other ways, particularly offensively, if they're able to take steps forward and really finish strong, which obviously was the big problem last year. So, you know, all of this, you know, has to be taken into account of what moves they might make at the deadline, what kind of injuries might pop up, obviously. But as far as what they look like on paper right now, I think there are very few lineups in the American League that truly rival the potential that this Orioles group has.
Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun, talking Orioles here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato next week. Everything starts down in Sarasota. Now, to that point, we know what happened to Westberg. Got his wrist broken. Mountcastle got hurt. Others dealt with injuries as well. But Adley Rutschman didn't, or at least he said he didn't get hurt. But the numbers speak for themselves in the second half. So what did happen to Adley Rutschman? And what is the optimism level that he gets back to pre-All-Star break, where he was a worthy starter, putting up pretty significant offensive numbers there?
That remains one of the biggest mysteries of the Orioles 2024 season, is what exactly happened to Adley. And I think it is important to note that not just his power was sucked down the stretch, but his on-base percentage, which is really, I think, what the Orioles truly leaned on him for, as a guy who hit, you know, in that number two spot, guy who hit behind Gunnar Henderson, helping move him over the bases. I mean, that was something that I felt like really elongated their lineup, helped them kind of keep the line moving and set up the next guy. And when Adley wasn't right, it was clear that the lineup just didn't click the way it was supposed to. So, you know, I just think the sample size for him as far as being successful, you know, his rookie season, the year before, first half of last year, two-time All-Star. I mean, I think that there is just too much that we've seen of him doing well to question his ability to bounce back at such a young age. I mean, literally a first-time arbitration eligible player here, still very much has a long career ahead of him. So it would not shock me at all to see Adley Rutschman return to form almost immediately. He said he worked on some things over the offseason with Cody Ashe, their promoted hitting coach, to identify maybe some things that didn't work down the stretch. So it does seem like he's going to be making some adjustments this year. Interested to see what those adjustments look like in camp and to see if there's anything kind of, you know, standing out as far as what he did in the first half last year versus what he did in the second half.
Hey, Matt, who do you think it's more important to get started fast in spring training and early in the season, Rutschman or Holiday?
Man, you know, I think that Holiday is certainly getting such a big opportunity here. I mean, not being handed the keys to the second base job, but it certainly looks like he is going to be their starting second baseman. And being at such a young age with all of the struggles that he went through last year, I bet it would be a huge confidence boost for him just to get off on the right foot. You know, I think a guy last year who really had to make a ton of adjustments in his swing, his leg kick is now gone. You know, a lot of adjustments that typically you make outside the season as opposed to in it, that I think really hindered his ability to adjust to the major league level. We'll see now that he's kind of had a full offseason working with his dad with a plan, knowing how he wants to approach major league pitching. I'm very interested to see what that kind of looks like here. And certainly I think that's somebody who, if he were to get off to a strong start, not only would that just, you know, I think put a lot of minds at ease about his prospect status and his ability to live up to it, but also just change kind of the dynamic of the Orioles lineup. I mean, if Gunnar Henderson, you know, is continuing to be the kind of player he is, as far as the power goes, you'd love to have somebody get on base ahead of him, somebody who can run on the bases and score, you know, so he's not hitting a bunch of solo home runs like he did last year, somebody for him to drive in. And I think Holiday could be that guy. I don't know right away, but certainly at some point this season, if we do see Holiday start to really break out, he's certainly a top candidate to be one of their leadoff guys.
Matt Weirich covers the Orioles in Major League Baseball for the Baltimore Sun. Matt, appreciate the time as always. Have a safe trip to Florida, and we'll talk to you throughout the spring, into the season, and hopefully deep into October.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
You got it, Matt Weirich, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw, because we couldn't get to it last hour. Ryan Wilson will preview Super Bowl 59 with him and the draft. From CBSSports.com, Vinny's film breakdown of that Eagles defense. They're good, and the stats say so. And then more from Eric DaCosta and Todd McShay, Ravens GM, on Todd's podcast, talking all things Ravens. From CBSSports.com, preview Super Bowl 59 with him. We'll talk about the draft. I mean, I guess the best players, Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, player, inch for inch, pound for pound.
That's kind of the way it looks. You know, I guess pass rusher or corner. Yeah.
And then Tennessee's got the number one pick. They could use a quarterback, but is it Cam Ward? Is it Sanders?
I mean, sounds like Cam Ward's the guy right now.
Are you reaching at one, though?
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, so we'll get Ryan's thoughts on that. But let's bring Nolan back. Nolan, before we get to the funhouse, just have Matt Weirich on talking about Ramon Laureano and this stockpile of outfielders there. So what do you think for about a week away from everybody showing up to Sarasota. How are you feeling about the team? You still seem a little pessimistic, at least based on the verbiage. Well, not verbiage, but the vibe. Vibes are big. The vibe I'm getting.
Oh, I mean, last week we were talking about win projections and what Vegas had said it, or somebody had said it at 91, and I said they'd go over. So, I mean, I'm not down on this team by any means. Certainly wouldn't pick them to fall all the way out of contention and not even make the playoffs. I mean, I got concerns about some depth with pitching, particularly the bullpen for me. You know, you subtracted two key guys in Danny Coulomb and Jacob Webb, and if you want to move on from them, that's not fine, but who'd you bring in to replace them with? Andrew Kittredge is nice, but that's one guy for two losses. And Felix Bautista is still a mystery. So just by simple math, I mean, you lost two, you added one. I think they could use another move there.
And we still have plenty of, not 27 days till opening day, Trippy. We still have a little more than, or a little less than 2 months away, and we'll see what, I still think something's coming. Something's percolating. I'm smelling something brewing here.
Definitely a trade.
I smell something cooking. That was a rock.
Can you smell what the rock is cooking?
Can you smell what Elias is cooking? All right, let's go to the funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First one here on the Orioles. Texter says Heston Kjerstad has to be on the move at this point. There just simply isn't enough space for him. They never really gave him a chance past few years, even when there were injuries for others in the lineup. It's disappointing he never got that real shot, but he'll likely flourish elsewhere. I just hope the return in a trade is worth it.
Yeah, I don't know if talking to Matt here, and again, more time's going to have to pass before we know for sure. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion he's out of here. But it would be nice to see him get extended at-bats and regular playing time and see what he's capable of doing against lefty. The power's immense. When he goes yard, that thing's a missile. Let's see what he's going to do. And is he Roberto Clemente in the outfield with a glove? No. You know, it's not like they're lobbing hand grenades at him, right. I think.
Well, it seemed like last year just they really only pinch hit him for the longest time. He never really started when he got called up. It was always, eighth inning, ninth inning, get in there. And he ran into a couple. He had that huge grand slam against the Rangers that was amazing late in that game. But, that's just not good for a young player for those to be his only opportunities late in a game.
That's time-honored, not just for the Orioles in baseball. Why bring up Johnny Superstar Prospect and have him sit there and watch the game for free?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're going to bring him up, let him play.
Right. Let's see, other texts here. This one on the Ravens says, this is a huge offseason for DaCosta, especially to show that he's willing to go all in for a Super Bowl. You don't have any pressing free agents besides Ronnie Stanley. He's probably going to be too expensive anyway. Why not package some picks? Go get a proven pass rusher. Enough with this best player available, future-minded drafting. Win a Super Bowl now.
Yeah, I got no problem with that. I mean, because they have a hell of a team. And 11 dudes are not going to make their team draft picks. So if they were to package and, like, if they identified somebody, we'll use pass rusher for example, because that's what you brought up. If they saw somebody like at 15 or 12, go get them. And he can be the difference for our defense. Go get him instead of sitting at 27. And we'll hope that this guy can do it. I mean, that's what I would like to see. Just because you've got a lot of pieces in place, But I think like their philosophy is all right. If we have 11 picks or 13 picks or whatever, however many picks we end up with, that five of them are going to turn into good players. Instead of, we got 11. Would we rather have three guys that we know for sure can come in and pencil in as starters day one?
This one here talking about the Chiefs three-peat, Texter says. Three-peat definitely would not be an impressive feat for the Chiefs here because the sport is soft now. No big hits. It's all finesse players. Nobody ever gets their uniform dirty anymore. Texter goes on to say, I barely even consider Mahomes a true football player in the toughness sense of the word. He's like an extra protected position, while those around him can't do much to resist the driving offense.
I totally disagree with that. I mean, the injuries that that dude has played with, you're not calling him tough? I mean, that's insane. You know, and I think Kansas City's a physical... they beat teams that are physical. They beat the Ravens, who are Buffalo's not, but I mean, they beat some teams that are physical football teams. They can play whatever style they need to play.
Maybe question some of the legitimacy of some of his injuries, especially when he's always playing through them.
I don't think you could deny what he went through 2 years ago.
No.
Oh, he's a hell of a player.
But no, I'm talking with the ankle and the knee, and he limping around the field. And
in the Super Bowl against the Eagles?
We got hurt in the wild card or the divisional game against Jacksonville. Right. He played two games on that injury.
He's such a warrior narrative.
He is. I guess you're taking Eagles.
I haven't made up my mind yet. I mean, just because I don't like somebody doesn't mean I'm picking against them.
I mean, is he Roethlisberger level?
He's not to
injury?
That end, but he's displayed Roethlisberger tendencies to me. I don't know. If he shows up with a walking boot, it's over. I'm not doing that. A knee brace in his post-game presser.
Or Paul Pierce in a wheelchair, whatever it was.
That would be something.
Yeah.
Let's see. One more here. Texter says, seems to me that the NFL is changing from a sports business to strictly an entertainment business. I heard Ed talking about this on the morning show, having concerns about it, especially with all the gambling tie-ins, not just football, all professional sports. It's Chris in Florida with that question there.
I think they're all about the money. Whatever it takes to make money, that's what they're about. They don't care if it's, you know, because a lot of things, what did they say we would never see? We would never see a team in Vegas with all that gambling around. What we got: baseball, football, hockey.
Soon to be NBA, I'm guessing.
Yeah, WNBA. Yeah, we got a million. So it's all everything just goes back to money. How do we make money? And they'll do whatever it takes. They'll do anything to make money.
But to the texter's point, just had an umpire get the boot in baseball. You got this probe going on in the NBA. With Jontay Porter, who's already been accused, looking at jail time. Scary Terry Rozier's name's been linked. College athletics. Only a matter of time before it gets into the old shield here.
Oh, no doubt.
Right. And the refs have been very defensive this week, probably rightfully so, or those that speak on behalf of the refs, whether it's Goodell or others. All the quotes you're reading this week is just how they're, you know, appalled that anyone would have an idea that they would mess with the game in any level, or show favoritism to a team. And I mean, look, fans are emotional, right? We accept that. We hear from fans all the time. That's very rational thinkers. But that's what makes it fun. But how can you blame them? I mean, we're looking at the evidence in front of us, and every Chiefs game, there seems to be a very crucial call late in the game that has a direct impact on the outcome. Not saying it's always a wrong call, but it always conveniently seems to show up. I think people are just noticing things. They're connecting dots. Don't get so defensive about it.
Well, other coaches say it too, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So perception's reality.
That's very fair.
And incompetence is part of the equation too. You got a bunch of 60-year-olds running up down the field trying to keep up with the greatest football players on the planet.
Yeah. The referees are running 6-0 in the 40 when those receivers are running like 4-3, you know?
The old commercial. You do the bubbly ball thing. Vinny and 81.5.7 The Fan. We'll talk about Super Bowl 59, which we think is on the up and up, with Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports. And we'll talk about the draft a little bit with him. And then the Eagles film breakdown, their defense. Their defense is really good enough to slow down Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and the rest. Stick around. We'll find out.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.